Still no Jason Tatum, but we're going to get more of Kemba Walker. Plus, the challenge of using Robert Williams on this Friday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your daily routine, wherever it is that you're going, whatever it is that you're doing. I'm glad that you're making this show part of that thing. I hope it makes your day just a tiny bit brighter. I'm John Corrales. I host this show on a Monday through Friday basis. So if you're new, that's what you're going to get, a Monday through Friday podcast, so please subscribe. I also cover the Celtics, and I am the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book on the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. Pretty self-explanatory. It's available now at all your favorite booksellers. Coming up in today's show, segment one, a quick practice update. Kemba Walker, minutes restriction is going up. Still no Jason Tatum. Segment two, Robert Williams and his DNP after being available, but kind of sort of available. You're going to hear Brad on Kemba. You're going to hear Brad on Robert Williams in this show. And segment three, why it's time to build a new Boston Garden, or at the very least, a new home for the Boston Celtics. Now is the time to start planning that out. I'm going to tell you why in segment three. First, Kemba Walker. Every day that he plays, every practice the Celtics have, the question is going to come up. How's Kemba? How's he doing? And I had a question for Brad Stevens, not only about Kemba, but Brad Stevens in the first game against Philly on Wednesday night started Kemba, played him in the second quarter, brought him out in the middle of the second quarter, then didn't bring him in again until the end of the third. And I thought that's a long time to be sitting. And after the game, Kemba was like, yeah, that was tough. So I asked Brad about Kemba's health and whether he'd consider kind of shifting how he used Kemba Walker.
Hey, Brad, we'll start the obligatory Kemba update, how his knee responded. And considering that long gap between the second quarter minutes that he got and the third quarter minutes that where you wanted him to close the game, would you consider changing how you use him at the start of the game to maybe minimize that gap?
His minutes restrictions going up, so it's kind of a mute point, John. So, like, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, we've thought about that for not only minute restrictions, but for years on, you know, if you're going to play guys in spurts like that, is it better to just sit them till the second quarter? Yeah. I mean, it's a very reasonable thought. We certainly have discussed it.
What's the new minutes restriction?
We'll be able to add a few minutes to what he's been doing. So still the 25, 28 minute range, somewhere in there. A little bit easier to manage that from the standpoint of starting, not starting, all that other stuff.
So obviously, first of all, Kemba's minutes restriction going up to about 25 to 28. So the question I asked was moot, at least for Kemba, because if he's at 28, well, you can play him 14 minutes very easily. You play him 5 minutes in the first quarter, 9 minutes to end the first half, and then same thing in the second half. So you get 14 and 14, that's 28. Very easy. You can get him in with the starting lineup, get him out, bring him back in somewhere around the 9 minute mark, first time out, and then let him play until halftime, and then he can close the game. So, okay, not going to work with Kemba Walker, but he did say, yeah, that's reasonable. We would consider doing that in a different scenario. Well, Jason Tatum, when he does come back, and again, not going to happen Friday, but I'm going to guess it'll happen on Sunday. Probably on Sunday. If it's not Sunday, it'll be Monday because they're playing three games in four nights. So he's going to play one of those two games. He might not play in the back-to-back. But I want to bring up that it's possible that when Jason Tatum comes back, there's a great way to stagger Kemba and Jason Tatum. You start Kemba, play him 5 minutes, you bring Jason Tatum off the bench, and he plays his 7 minutes. And then he goes into the second quarter, and then Kemba comes in for him, and you do the same thing in the second half. And you now have a full game with one of Tatum or Kemba on the floor at all times. And that means one of those guys is going to be sharing the floor with Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. And so that feels like a very good place for the Celtics to be in this kind of ramp up as these guys come back. Now, so Jason Tatum was back in Boston. Danny Ainge was on the radio, Toucher and Rich on 98.5. And he said, quote, he looks good. He seems to be in a good place. I don't know when he's coming back, but I'm guessing within the next few games, he'll be back playing, being himself. So that, and just to continue, with being out for a couple of weeks and not being able to do anything while he had COVID, it's tough. We're just being cautious and careful with Jason, but it's a conversation that he's had with our medical staff, with our trainers that make that determination as to when he'll be back. Just so you know that Tatum is close, and that's great. Obviously for the Celtics, they're very, very close, very, very close to having a full squad. So basically out of practice, there were three things. Kemba feels good and good enough to have his minutes restriction bumped up. Two, Tatum's not back, but Brad Stevens and the staff have talked about, in situations like this, maybe not starting a guy if they want him to finish the games. So keep an eye out to see if Tatum does that and doesn't start. That's number two. Number three that came out of practice was the use of Robert Williams. And how do the Celtics now get, with Robert Williams coming back and being cleared for some level of play, how to use Robert Williams, how to use Tristan Thompson, and how to use Daniel Tice. You're going to hear from Brad Stevens on that next. If you are interested in betting on basketball or football or anything else, betonline.ag is the only place that has you covered and the only place that we trust on the Locked On Podcast Network. Sign up today, and it's also going to be the place that gives you a 50% welcome bonus. So whatever you deposit, betonline.ag is going to give you 50% on that of that on top of what you deposit as a welcome bonus. So you've already won your first bet simply by signing up for a free account and then making that deposit. You can bet on all sorts of games, all sorts of futures. The NFL is just about wrapping up. One more week of playoffs before the Super Bowl, and then you can focus on college basketball, pro basketball, hockey, and those. And within the NBA, there are in-game betting available. There are in-game bets available. You can, seriously, you just follow along and then log on and see what the third quarter bets are and what the fourth quarter bets are. It's a lot of fun if you're interested. Please gamble responsibly, but don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. This is an exciting announcement from the Locked On Podcast Network. You can get more of the sports news you need in less time with our brand new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Pretty exciting time for the network. We got a lot of great shows. I will just say this, and this is unsolicited. They didn't ask me to say this. Locked On Celtics is one of the flagship shows of the Locked On Podcast Network. I've seen behind the scenes where this podcast network has come from. Where we are right now, I'm so psyched. It's like rebuilding, and now you're part of a contender. So I really am proud of the Locked On Podcast Network. I also asked Brad Stevens today. I asked him about Kemba Walker. I asked him about using Robert Williams. He was a did-not-play coach's decision in that first game against Philly on Wednesday night. I know that he was limited, but just curious, so I asked Brad Stevens why.
Robert Williams was available yesterday, but obviously didn't play. Was that more of a matchup thing, or is that more of a you didn't feel comfortable?
No, I mean, it's going to be our thing this year. That's, I think, going to be the most difficult, John. And, you know, one of the things is he wasn't cleared to play very many minutes. So it was more like an 8 to 10 minute limit based on being out for a couple of weeks and those type of things. So the way that the game was going, the way that Tice was playing off the bench, it made sense to roll with Tice. But, you know, it's one of the reasons why, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, the double big lineup was not great. We all knew that, but it was also a way that Robert could maximize his opportunities early while we had Kemba out. So we've got to figure out a way to maximize all of those guys, get Tristan up to speed. And you know, again, I think he's playing from behind with missing training camp, although I think he's getting, you know, more and more comfortable every day. But, you know, Tyson and Robert are good players, and so we need to make sure that we're maximizing that position.
So this was basically what I expected. First of all, that Robert Williams is probably not the right matchup against Philly. So he's probably not going to be used a ton anyway, but he was also limited to about 10 minutes or so. So yeah, you're not going to really push a guy like that. You're going to give him maybe an opportunity to warm up somehow, get some reps in somehow in pregame, go through a tough pregame, get your lungs back, all of that stuff. So I'm not surprised that Robert Williams didn't play. He might not play on Friday night. He might play 20 minutes on Friday night for all I know, but it's the result there was not surprising. However, it does bring up questions about how do you use Tristan Thompson, Daniel Tice, and Robert Williams? So, talked about yesterday. Tice was rolling, so yeah, you're not going to use Brad Stevens. I'm sorry. You're not going to use... You're certainly not going to use Brad Stevens, but Brad Stevens says you're not going to use Robert Williams in that spot if Daniel Tice is rolling off the bench. So yeah, we get that, but there are questions here about the bigs and how is this going to go? And I was put some of this stuff out there, and people are now starting to chirp at Tristan Thompson. So Tristan Thompson hasn't played great in this first part of the season. Okay, fine. That's going to happen. Tristan Thompson, we should be fair. Just like we're going to be fair to everybody here. That's what I want. I want us to be fair here. Daniel Tice, we're being fair to Daniel Tice because he was asked to play the four and play out of position and play in these double big lineups, which were a big experiment. Which, okay, fine. If you're going to need those lineups, if you think you're going to need those lineups, fine. Experiment with those lineups in the early season. Not a problem with that for me. No, they didn't work. No, there's still a lot of work for them to try to figure that out. if they think they're going to need that, keep trying it. Keep trying it from time to time to try to get some of those things ironed out. That's fine. I don't care about that. But Daniel Tice very obviously struggles at that four spot. Now, as I've said in the past, if you think Daniel Tice just struggles at the four and can't play that position, then no, don't keep trying it. If you think he has room to grow and he can grow into that, then yes, keep trying it. I still stand by that. But those big lineups, the double bigs, also allowed Brad Stevens to play Robert Williams. Now you have to make decisions. Okay, Jason Tatum's going to come back, even if, as I said in the first segment, they decide to bring him off the bench just so he can finish games as he ramps up whatever minutes restriction he has. Even if that's the case, eventually, obviously, he's going to start. And the Celtics certainly could move Marcus Smart to the bench and have him back Kemba Walker up and come up with a different plan for the front court. They certainly could. But for now, I would expect that Kemba and Marcus Smart will be out there together with Jalen and Jason and one of the bigs, one of the fives. So we're being fair to Daniel Tice, and we've seen Daniel Tice in two separate occasions now be pretty good as the five. Tristan Thompson has not been particularly great, has done some good things on the floor, has been rebounding like a fiend, but still has work to do. He has missed his entire preseason, did not get a preseason. He started out playing in those double big lineups, which were experimental. And now he's finally getting to be the guy that he thought he was going to be without another big out there. So you got to give Tristan Thompson a little bit of time. So Tristan Thompson deserves a bit of fairness. Tice does. So does Robert Williams. Because now where does Robert Williams get his minutes? There are 48 minutes per position. And so break down those 48 minutes between three guys. That's not a lot of time. So one of these guys is going to have to sacrifice. It may just be positional. But Brad Stevens does, as he says, this is his biggest challenge here this season. Not that big of a challenge to say, we're going to start Kemba, Smart, Jalen, and Jason. And maybe you say, oh, well, okay, we're gonna put Smart on the bench. That's okay, fine. Maybe the Celtics use their traded player exception and they bring in somebody for that four spot or whatever, and then that makes it easier, but there's still going to be questions about the bigs. It does open up the possibility of a trade. I don't think they're going to trade Tristan Thompson. They brought him in for specific reasons. I've said before, if you're not going to play Robert Williams, do the dude a favor. Do his agent a favor, because that's going to come back to you in good ways, and move him. Or if you're looking to clear space, if you think, hey, we need salary to use this TPE, then Tice is going to be the guy. But these guys, two of these guys deserve to have 20 plus minutes a game. It's a matter of which two. Because what are you going to do? Play 12, 14, 16 minutes? That's tough. That's tough. It's tough to ask a guy to be out there like that. So we're going to find out as guys get healthier what Brad Stevens is going to do. At some point in the next month or two, some of this stuff might shake out. One of these guys is going to start getting DNPs at a little bit more regular rate. And it might be in the Celtics' best interest to make a move. I think it's in the Celtics' best interest to build a new building, get a new home. I'm going to talk about why when I come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all sides of the story with Rejecting the Screen. Each week, Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, and media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to the Rejecting the Screen podcast wherever you get your podcast. If you go back a couple of weeks, you're going to get an interview with me on Rejecting the Screen, so go check that out. On Thursday, the Boston Celtics agreed to a 15-year lease extension that will keep them in the TD Garden through 2035-36. Now, they started playing games at the Garden in 1995, right away when it opened. Now, for those people who don't know, the old Garden was right in front. So now, if you're looking at the building, it used that front part used to be the old Garden. Then it became a parking lot. And then now it's like all of these restaurants and stuff. So that Guy Fieri place, that like if you go into the like there's a Star Market, you have there's two escalators going up. If you walk into that Star Market and check out, you're like in the third row of the old Garden across from the Celtics bench. Something like that. That's where the old Garden used to be. It's a Star Market now. The new Garden was built behind that, and it's gone through all of these iterations. Now the Celtics, they've agreed to this 15-year lease. The building at the end of this is going to be 40 years old. And at some point in this building's life, that building's going to have to be replaced. And they're doing a great job building around it, but there's still a real issue with eventually the age of this building. There, you look around. Now, I've been in the new Oracle Arena in Golden State, and I'm sure the Celtics don't have the money to build that thing. But let me tell you how insane that new Oracle Arena is. It's the Chase Center. That new arena in San Francisco for the Warriors, that thing is just wow. Wow. Walking into a building like that just blows your mind. Now, I've also walked into the Phoenix Suns home arena, which is, I don't know, what do they call it now? Walking stick something or other? Now, they've gone through upgrades, but that arena is old, and it looks old. The Garden still looks pretty good. The concourses look pretty good. It's good. It's fine. 15 years from now, with all these modern advancements, these arenas age quickly. They're going to have to figure something else out for that spot at some point. That building can't exist there forever. 40 years is a long time for an arena, and at some point they're going to have to build something new. I think the Celtics should really consider between now and 15 years from now building and operating their own arena in a different part of town. I think, first of all, good for Boston, another big event center for whatever, concerts. You want to book something and have two different venues playing events at the same time? Sure. One concert on one end, one concert on the other end. Why not? You can really bring in more revenue. You can do a lot more, and the Celtics would have a lot more flexibility. flexibility to schedule back-to-backs, game times. They won't be dependent on the Boston Bruins and their schedule. There won't be bull gang changeover necessary. One building would host the Bruins. The other building would host the Celtics. You can customize the sight lines to basketball. You can customize the Jumbotron to basketball. That's, I think, the future of the Boston Celtics. And when you consider that the Boston Celtics were bought back, how long ago was this? It was in 2002. The Boston Celtics were bought for $360 million. $360 million. You know what the Boston Celtics are worth right now? Close, about $2 billion? B-billion? So Wick Grosbeck and his partners have a lot of equity to work with. And within that, they have the ability to leverage some of that equity, to borrow against it, to build a brand new arena 15 years from now that can have a ton of those luxury boxes that are so valuable, to control their own concessions, which they do not right now, to not pay rent, to just be in full control of that building. And it's not going to be like the Warriors. The Warriors just print money with that building. But I think the Celtics are in a position to find a spot. And, you know, there are spots. Boston's tough. Boston is tough. The downside here, Boston is tough to build in. It's hard to find these places. One of the places that I thought would be great has kind of become Assembly Square. Like back years ago when I said, hey, find a new place, Assembly Square now has become like the places where people are living now should have been, I think, the new Garden, that like that area. But there are still places in that area that could work. You can build something. I'm sure the folks at the Encore would love to have an arena somewhere nearby where fans could go, hey, I'm going to stay at the Encore, gamble, and then go to the game and make a weekend of it. You don't think the Encore will want to work with the Boston Celtics? They would love that. And there is plenty of space around there that can make something work. There is room to work in that area. Trust me, there's plenty of room to work in that area. And it's basically 5 minutes from where the Garden is now. You have to make some infrastructure improvements. Okay, for sure. No problem. You got to work. You got to get creative on some things. That's going to happen with a lot of buildings. That, I think, is a possibility. Seaport area, I know that's up and coming. I don't know if people who operate the convention center are going to be happy with that, but that's another possibility. There are areas around town. You don't have to do like the old palace at Auburn Hills where it's the Boston Celtics, but they're playing in Billerica. You don't have to go that far. You know, it's not going to be like the Kowloon is supposedly going away. You can build an arena there, but you don't want to do that up in Saugus. But bottom line is, there is an opportunity here. I think, look, the Garden, the old Garden is gone. And trust me, if anybody appreciates the history of this team and the building, it's me. And that spot where it lives, it's me. I get it. That spot is where the Celtics play. That pin on the Google map, that's where the Celtics play. But that's gone now. The old Garden is gone. And that area is so different now that the luster is gone. And the people who care about where that building really is, frankly, By the time a new one is here, a lot of them are going to be too old to care anymore. Things change. I think this is something the Celtics should really strongly consider. And they can make it their own. And ultimately, I think it could be good for them. It could be good for the league. They could bring an all-star game to Boston. Maybe. It's worth investigating. All right, that's the show. Hope you've enjoyed this show, this week of shows. It's a Monday through Friday podcast. So if you've missed any podcast here this week, Monday through Friday, go back and check them out. I'll be back on Monday with reaction to the games Friday and Sunday. The Celtics Sunday night game has moved from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So the Celtics play the Sixers on Friday night, the Cavaliers on Sunday night, and I will have a podcast after the Cavs game, mixing in conversation about both, so please subscribe. If you're a regular listener, a 5-star rating, a good written review would be amazing, as would sharing the podcast and telling your friends to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.